Welcome back for season 5 of the Cougar Sports Show. I'm your host, Abby Whittington, coming to you from the University of Sioux Falls in South Dakota. Each week, we'll bring you exclusive interviews with coaches and student athletes to give you the latest inside scoop on all things Cougar sports. Today, I'm here with head coach of women's wrestling, Toby Bryant. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So, coach, you guys are off to a really great start this year. You're 6-0, and I just want to ask, what do you feel like overall has been really your key to success so far?
Yeah, you know, just the credit to our student-athletes that committed to the University of Sioux Falls and believed in our vision. And, you know, we're actually 12-3 the last 2 years, you know, coming out with losing to Iowa. And then the two we lost last year was to Shadron and Jamestown. We turned those two around this year. So kind of revenge, you know, losses in year two and sitting 6-0. So it's kind of a feel-good thing. It's just, we are where we are right now, not to give credit to to this guy, but just the work that the ladies have put in, they're just amazing people.
For sure. And so looking at your schedule, there's kind of schools from all over because the NSIC doesn't currently have a women's wrestling sanction. I know we said Minot's there, Jamestown's coming in next year. How many teams need to be in a league to create a conference?
Yeah, you know, right now the RMAC out west with Colorado Mesa, Shadron, sure, I don't even know the other two, but I know they're at a conference of four, maybe Simon Fraser up in Canada. That's kind of a distance thing. So, you know, it's still the pioneer efforts. We're only year two. So as universities decide to add women's wrestling or, you know, kind of stay status quo, you're kind of at the mercy of really locally. You know, we have budget restraints. I mean, outside of 8 hours from our location, we have to bus it. And there's some, budget-wise to save money with vans and those things. You know, we're trying to do our best. But at the same time, like, you think about, you draw a triangle from Minot to Jamestown to Shadron to Augsburg to Morningside to Dakota Wesleyan and us. That's kind of where, you know, maybe I'm going to add Hastings and maybe to get to Lindenwood down in Missouri. You know, but that's really kind of our triangle of influence. Like, if I'm going to independently schedule this thing, I'm always wrestling Cornell, too, in Iowa. But again, you know, we're just the state where, you know, we've been fortunate to stay healthy and our roster's been full, which really showed up on the scoreboard. We're allowed to get some dual wins as a team because some rosters aren't full right now. And we always, you know, there's our reasons why people aren't in the roster. And, you know, college sports is tough and it's not for everybody. But our girls are buying in, we're showing up, and we are putting a prod together we feel is really darn important to kind of showcase why we do what we do.
Yeah, that's awesome and so important, like you said. How many girls are on the roster this year?
We started the year at 23. You know, life's delightful little challenges always come along the way. Always kind of tongue-in-cheek talk about January and the sport of wrestling. Just the mental health, physical health, consistency, you know, being able to show up and be consistent with all things we do in life. And, you know, we're down to 18, you know, so there's some that just decide it's just not going to work for them. And but we, you know, it's a 10 weight classes, so we still have some depth and getting over some, you know, boo-boos, some injuries here and there. So we got a good system in place to get ready for postseason, but, you know, now we're on to recruiting. We're on to, we have 7 signed in the 25 class really high on. So, wow. You know, unfortunately, it's just, you know, some it works out and some it doesn't. And we just, you know, continue down with our story, the USF story, and, you know, show grace and compassion on those that need to exit and those that we bring on and onboard. We're not going to change what we do. We believe in our system and how we treat each other, and it's going to show on the mat, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and so when you say that you have a full roster, is there a max number of girls that you're allowed to have right now?
Well, so I mean, it's unlimited roster size.
Okay.
You know, we could go up to 60, but, you know, to care for 60 student athletes with what I know on and off the mat it takes, I don't have the capacity. If they give me 2 full-time assistants, I could probably add, but when it's me and my assistant, there's a lot going on there. So, you know, with 10 weights, we want to make a competitive room. You know, so if you're two deep at each weight, that's 20. If you're 3 deep at it, that's 30. And so kind of that magic mark, I believe, is that 25 to 30 rostered to give us that depth of 2 to 3 for injuries and just make the room competitive. And so, you know, we're at that 20 to 25 threshold, you know, in year two. And then, you know, we really haven't tapped into transfers yet. You know, really not a portal guy. Like, I want to get it right with the culture and climate with the ones here first. And we could maybe jump with the transfer thing, but it's not really, I think, in my DNA or really in my psyche to try to shortcut things. We're going to try to bring them on and in our system and care for them the right ways and not bring other people's story to the table in college. Like, we want to transfer kids from high school to college and do what we do. And if we fall short in that, there's other ways now, mechanisms to get kids here. But right now, I'm going to stay true to what I believe is right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really awesome. And especially, how do you feel like that culture you've created has impacted your success this year?
Yeah, I think the trust, like anything in life, you know, trust and relationship, you got to trust somebody. You know, these 14 gals that came on early on and up to 20, like, I mean, I recruited the first group that didn't even have a wrestling room, and they trusted me, you know, and the university did a good job for time and place where we're at, but we do need to do something for our room because it's a small space that there's a need in our area that women want to use wrestling and platform to get an education. And so that's whole another conversation, but I think our culture and climate, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, building leaders, and I'm not a big captains guy. We don't have captains. Everybody brings a gift to the table. And so we talk about 1 minute meetings, 5 minute meetings, 30 minute meetings, no, an hour meeting, never put your head angry on a pillow. So they're the ones, so everybody's a captain. And then if they have to call something out and they got to talk, maybe it's just one-on-one. Maybe it's a small group of locker room dynamics that need to be brought to the table. And so I've also always believed in creating a culture of autonomy where I believe everybody has a leadership capacity. And some lead with strength, some lead with quiet, some lead with vocal. And so we just allow them to express. And if they want to use somebody else as a voice, that's okay. But a lot of times I think they've taken onus to the fact they're keeping a lot of things to their chest and then bring it to us. And then we adjust and we pivot and get it right. And so just using the wisdom of our coaching staff and what we believe is, you know, pure and lovely, and we just get it right.
Yeah, that's great because, like you had mentioned, trust was really important, and that definitely creates a sense of trust amongst the girls because they know they have each other's back and they know that they can be supported by anyone on the team. And when you're saying that, you know, you're bringing in girls from high school in just the second year of your program, are they all either freshmen or sophomores then?
Yeah, we essentially have only a two-year, you know, freshman, sophomore. We do have one, and we're very careful. We do have a one JUCO transfer, though, that Coach Olsen had a really good relationship with the coach out of Oklahoma. And so she kind of came to us in a way that a little unorthodox. And, you know, so I don't want to say we're all, but she's done a great job at 160. Her personality and just how she was going to fit with our younger girls when they're going to go through some tough times because they're going to lose some matches here and how we adjust to that. So she's a two-time JUCO All-American. We kind of needed that example and that role model. Don't want to all talk about transfers being a, you know, bad story. She is very one that we took a lot of time on and found that gem out there to get these high school kids to see this is what a college athlete does day in and day out. So she really brings that example of leadership for us. And
yeah.
Because I got two male coaches. Like we're not female brains. Like we don't know how this thing works. So we want to bring something that thinks like us and then models it for them. And so she's essentially just an asset as like an extension of our coaching staff. So that's something we really take a lot of time to study.
I think that's really great, being like, you know, aware that I'm not a girl. I don't know what these girls are always going to be asking for and always going to be looking for. So having that role model, I mean, coming into college and not having an upperclassman would be really hard, especially, I mean, even if she is a transfer, not knowing the campus and everything. Yeah. But I want to ask you, I know we've probably talked about this a couple years ago when you first came in, but what exactly is it that you really love about establishing a new program?
Yeah, you know, anytime, you know, in life, an opportunity comes. You never know when that opportunity came or why it came. I'm a father of four daughters. Did I ever think I was going to have four daughters? Absolutely not. Never in a million years I thought that I'd be able to equip to get through that deal. And so I've had a lot of challenges and, you know, beautiful bride at home to get me through. Four daughters, my older two are student athletes up at Northern State in our conference. I've got a junior in high school that's playing high school basketball and softball, and an eighth grader who's wrestling high school and softball and tennis. So we keep them busy. But I guess at the end of the day, like when that opportunity come to take a college women's program from scratch, look at all the thousand mistakes I made as a parent, as a husband, and then the university says, hey, we want to take a chance on this guy. We think there's a way that, you know, they can recruit and get the right kid here. What's going to fit the landscape of the Sioux Falls community? What's going to fit the University of Sioux Falls culture from a Christian perspective to a, you know, a Baptist school with 141 years in the middle of the prairie to where we are now? Like all these things that I dove into and soul searched on, why am I here? And so be able to articulate and get these girls tough and put a callus on them and make them gritty. But also they're accountable to the spirit, like in their faith journey, in their, you know, physical demand of the sport to be a winner. You know, how do you handle prosperity? So I got an opportunity to handle prosperity. I can take this a lot of different ways. There's a lot of women out there probably a lot smarter than I am, especially dealing with college female minds and bodies. But those are all things that are really simple. At the end of the day, we're still people, right? And we still are relationship-based. And so coaching males and coaching females and all the good and bad that comes with it, I mean, I just feel so supported by a gratitude approach, the thirst and the hunger to grow and learn. And they just embrace, like they respect us. And I think today's society with the portal and the culture of woe is me, and if it's not working out for me, then I can just put my hand in your face and walk away because the grass is greener. Mm-hmm. And like that's something here where we really, I think these girls have done such a great job for each other and us that they wouldn't be at USF if it wasn't for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, out of the 23 girls, would not have signed to go to college at USF if wrestling was an opportunity. So you can count the beans in the room why they're paying a college bill. You can count the reasons why the future leaders, when they're going to be wives and employees and parents, and like the generational thing that this is going to expose them to get them ready for life. Like that is why I'm doing this, because either I'm just crazy or this is truly what's happening.
Yeah, that's a huge role to take on. I don't know if you necessarily mentioned this, but it's like so much bigger than just USF, because women's wrestling is still so small and still working its way up and still emerging. What is your hope for the future of women's wrestling in the United States?
You know, like every day, there's good days and bad days. You know, the girls that first were the pioneering that came on, I think there was 54 programs last year, just NCAA Division I, II, not including the NAI or the JUCOs. So powers to be at the governing level said now they're at 74, I believe. And as of 2 weeks ago, they just announced the 91st NCAA women's sport was announced. So that'll be next year. So the NCWWC for this year, one more year, the data in the room is showing the growth towards becoming a national championship. So we have exposure to that now. That's always good days, encouraging, but also the bad days where, like, you know, we're at the mercy of the next leaders. Like, who's going to take these new jobs that are popping up? I know how tough it is to coach. I know how tough. And then taking something that's such unknown territory, the lifespan of a coach is 0 to 3 years. And sometimes in these cases, we're seeing the lifetime of a coach is 1 to 2 years because they get into, it's not what I thought I signed up for. So I'm a little nervous about that. Like, we can add programs. It can look really good on the peripheral. We can make social media posters and really blow this thing up like it's a healthy thing. But I also think if we put our coaches in position and be employed before they're ready, it'll backfire on us. And not only just the males like myself that's encouraged or willing to do it, we need a female to do this for our females, but that doesn't always mean they're the best candidate for that time and place. It's a dichotomy that's not simple. There's no magic potion, but I just have a heart for, God, we just got to make sure we do it right and slow versus just make the optics look so good, but it's not really healthy.
Sure, because I saw, I don't know if it was the NCAA or if it was SportsCenter or something, I saw the post that, you know, there's going to be an NCAA championship next year. And so is the NCWWC going away?
Yeah.
And then Division 1, 2, or 3 is all going to be in the same level. They're just going to divide everybody into conferences and make it into like any other
region
sport.
Qualifier. Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
The only thing is, you know, with Delaware State just added, so now they're the fifth team. Now the powers be like David Taylor down the hire, you know, from Penn State down to Oklahoma State. You know, he's got a lot of mojo now with his club team. Now he's added a layer of women's wrestling, club wrestling. So like, when is, you know, even the mid-majors, the SDSUs, the NDSUs, the Northern States, the Mankatos right down there, when is that administrative staff, when is that vision going to be? We're going to add this. So the ones that are before us, like we're in year two in our region of NC Division II schools, we still have to compete against the have and have nots. I mean, who's going to step up women's wrestling and be the first one to say, I'm going to go fund X, Y, and Z at this school for the women? Because right now the Hawkeyes, obviously they are what they are, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, and just the nature of that program, they're unstoppable. Like, you're never going to catch that train at this time, but no different than Penn State. But those mid-majors coming in, like, how do we fund this thing? How do we get the resources for the women that want to have a good student-athlete experience? It's not an easy answer. It's just that we're essentially a Division I school stuck in a Division II budget and body that, you know, you're just like, yeah. But that, you know, it's kind of fun too. Like, you're always going to be the underdog. Mm-hmm. So go ruffle feathers and get your hand raised and prove people wrong that this is a microcosm of something special there. And that's what we're trying to build.
We'll be right back after a quick message from our sponsor.
To everyone making time for life's best moments, let our team member Sandy share how Culver's is serving up celebration by the scoop.
Our rich and creamy fresh frozen custard makes every day a little bit sweeter. Enjoying a handcrafted treat with all the ooey gooey toppings you love, now that's worth celebrating.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a sweet treat to make every moment count.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Looking at the USF women's wrestling program specifically, what changes do you feel like outside of the girls, outside of the culture, bringing in new people, what strides do you feel like you guys have made from your first season?
Yeah, you know, anytime you see growth, there's positive growth, and then there's like that growth that just should naturally happen because they've gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I've probably seen the most is their compassion for each other when delightful challenges come to. Like when we have to exit somebody or it's just not working or they're not doing the work like the sister beside them, how they treat them with dignity because it's just not a fit. And there's some internal stuff that goes on where, you know, that's they, you know, the mean spirit, like we're all can be mean spirited sometimes, right? But I'm so proud of these ladies that even though those that are struggling and just need to find, maybe it's not a fit for them, but then they're also open to the idea that, you know, what stinks as a college coach is our job is to replace them, like find somebody better than them, like recruit over the top of them. But the spirit, like our job is to also make you better and create an environment where you can become an All-American. And so they have to trust us. We have to trust them, but know that our job may be something you never thought you signed up for, but we're going to try to bring the best people to be in our family.
Yeah, and I think that in that explanation, you kind of answered another question that I was going to ask, but I feel like I said, you explained it is obviously at the end of the day, wrestling is an individual sport. You're the only one out there on the mat. And the fact that you have made it such a point to make it feel like a team sport and make the girls feel like they're teammates and supporting each other is so important. And I think that's really special about this program because I don't know if it's always like that in an individual sport like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get very tunnel visioned. There's a lot of times I call them island projects. Sometimes as the type A personality, which we recruit a type A, you can't really be passive in this sport. They kind of get isolated and it's very easy to put yourself away from the noise. But some of the energy and the synergy inside the team is the female spirit. Like when we have a duel and like when they're yelling out of the top of their lungs and I'm like sitting in the chair and like my ears, like my eardrums are popping because they're screaming for their sister. Like that's the energy that they feel like, cause they love to celebrate each other. That's the goal that I try to, you know, and so our road trips, the way they speak to each other, the language they use, you know, it's all important. It all feeds into this and they're injured so they don't get to go on the trip. But now they hear about the trip's experiences. They'd rather come and do what we do and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate they got to be out of line for a little bit. But they miss their dang sisters, and that's what we want.
So if you're looking, obviously you can't bring the injured ladies with you, but does everybody else get to travel and compete?
Yeah, you know, I try to maximize the experience where I work ahead with the coaches, you know. How many extra matches can we get? We got the 10 weight classes, and so if we're 2-3 deep, we try to get, you know, 2-3 extra matches at the end. So we'll travel up to 12-14 for individual duel. We're going to Grandview this weekend, and so we'll everybody that's cleared by, you know, injury report, well, they'll be on the bus. We'll probably travel 15-16, and they'll be in their individual brackets when they, you know, it's a full day Saturday where they're going to get, you know, they extend their day as long as they stay on the right side of the bracket. If you fall on the backside, figure a way to get back in place. And then we always talk about being oddball at the end of the day. Why an oddball? Because when you finish in an odd number, 1, 3, 5, and 7, that means you won your last match of the day because it's an odd number. Okay. If you're an even number, 2, 4, 6, 8, you're a loser. You finish your day being a loser. Don't be an even number. It's tongue in cheek, but it's something that the girls kind of get a kick out of, that we fight, and we're going to fight to stay on the right side of the bracket and go get yourself on the podium.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard that.
It's just wrestling.
Yeah.
Crazy guys like me.
Let's get a little bit more into the wrestling aspect. I want to know, are there any specific matches that really stood out to you this year? Or like, what was your favorite match for the girls? Any of that?
You know, we still are what we are. A lot of, you know, freshman, sophomore mistakes. So really, everything's practice to this point. You know, we've won 6 duels. We're proud of that. Like I said, we turned the Jamestown duel around. The Shattern, they beat us by 15 last year, Shattern, and we beat them 28-20 with some of our starters out. I know they've had some starters out too, you know, be staying healthy through it all. But that just, you know, shows that they show up to practice and they work. And so we're able to put a good product together right now. But as far as the wrestling, like, standout performances, unfortunately, we're winning with 2 of our 4 national qualifiers not in our lineup, with season-ending injuries. And so we've got, you know, a couple next woman up, and they've done a good job. So a little bit hamstrung there, but early on, obviously, Brenda Green getting herself rated either 14 or 17 in the nation.
Wow.
Was a big kind of, you know, just flag in the ground for a program.
Mm-hmm.
She had some outstanding performances early on, you know, got pushed some, you know, to the finals or top 3 in some of the early tournaments. But we'll get her back, you know, a year and then, you know, McKenna Hendrickson as well. So 2 of our best leaders, you know, are just trying to get themselves healthy. But they're doing a great job, you know, and just seeing things differently when sport throws you a curveball and you just never know why. But as far as, like, probably the biggest thing, like I said, is just, you know, finish out our dual campaign like we are. And, you know, having success. And then now that breeds the room. And then we get ready for an individual. So now it kind of gets a little selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So getting into wrestling now, the team, the big picture, all that's great, but now as we get to March, it's very selfish. Now it's about you getting from match to match, getting your hand raised, becoming All-American. So we really, really hone this down into individuals now, and they go be who they are based on their experience as a team. Now you got to lock into, it's all about you for this moment.
So you said, obviously, that there's those 10, and then if you can get some extra duels, mm-hmm. you're going for that. Who have been those 10 that have stepped up and kind of taken that space?
Yeah, you know, Mackenzie Armagues can, you know, wrestle 131 or 138. The last 2 duels, we've asked her to bump up, and she's done that. Maisie Mathis is a freshman that's come on, weighs in 160. We've had to bump her up to 180 to fill that weight class. So those are kind of, you know, 2 big points. You know, Tila Peters can go anywhere from 24 to 31. So we've even bumped up in some areas. And then Paige Denke has just been a, you know, great asset in the middle of our weights too. Where, you know, the girls have asked us not to have a challenge series within each other. They've kind of let time play out and trust the staff, you know, where we can go and say, well, if you beat her on a Tuesday, then it's your spot for Saturday. And then kind of gets to be this. And they're kind of, they actually educated me on, you know, I was the old male wrestling coach. I was going to have an inter-squad duel on a Tuesday night, invite the community, and people like you guys want to come check it out. Well, then they start, like, beating up on each other and kind of gets to be sideways because, you know, they don't want to, like, hurt each other. But you put another color in front of us, mm-hmm. it's on. And so we didn't have a challenge series this year. So getting back to these girls, know that we may go halvesies. One duel, we're going to wrestle this one by choice, and, you know, try to split the duels up a little, give them their matches. And then those that maybe hadn't got a match in a while, we use those as extras at the end. So I work ahead of the coach in advance of, just to kind of keep them sharp to compete outside of just having to compete in our room with some live settings. And so it really strategically, if they care for us, to understand, trust us, that we're going to get you in the lineup when we can. But you guys have chose, which I've learned, that we're not going to have this internal black and white challenge series because everybody's different under lights, camera, action, and mm-hmm. you perform different. So we had down at the 4-day state open, I think we had 5 placer winners, but we had 4 that wrestled each other in the blood round. And so we knocked each other out. You know, so we use that as a measuring stick that they do see each other in the open tournaments. And we don't, as coaches, sit in the corner. We just stay back and then watch the outcome. And so that kind of dictates a lot of our choice and decisions. But I think it's for year 2. But when we start getting up to 26 or 30 girls, we're going to have to, as a coach, figure out what that depth chart looks like. And we may have to go back to the traditional wrestling culture of a challenge series. But right now, through the women teaching us how to coach, I've learned that just stay out of their hair. They're gonna let you be who you are. They want to be trust who they are. And it's worked really well at this point. So
yeah, and I think that'll change as new women come in. And obviously, like you said, your roster grows and personalities change and you add in different dynamics and all that stuff. Just kind of looking at your matches so far this year, who would you say the toughest opponent that you've faced is?
Obviously, the North Central, number two team in the country, went up to Stevens Point that opening weekend. And I think we started at 10 a.m. And by 1:22, I looked at my clock and it was like, we've seen like 86% of the people standing in front were North Central girls. North Central's been around for 10 plus years. They kind of had the market on recruiting before some of these NCAA schools like us kind of got on a recruiting front. And we just got big sistered. Like we can't handle that level of performance quite yet. So that's kind of the thing that when you kind of shock and awe when you see us up against them. No different than we wrestled the Hawkeyes at home a year ago, and then no, they're not on the schedule this year because of a few times. But we're just not in that time and place with them. So we're that next tier team, you know. But again, the biggest thing is me as a coach getting a full lineup and keeping everybody together in the ship. Like us, turn around Jamestown. Jamestown pretty much showed us that we didn't belong a year ago. Shadron came at our house and showed us we didn't. It was 30-15, and we're 5 years away from even being at that level. So my focus in my coach for the offseason is we have to change those around. So there's really not one taste in time. And even like the Augsburg win. Now Minnesota is a huge wrestling state. Augsburg University has 14 national titles between their men's program. We're in the gym with 14 banners up there at the highest level Division III and winning. They're of a wrestling culture there. And we were able to beat Augsburg pretty handily as well. These teams that we've beaten and, you know, the girls, bless their hearts for being at the universities they chose, but we've been part of three senior nights and they're graduating 2 to 3 seniors. And this team we have now, we have around for 2 to 3 more years.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that's just kind of perspective. Like, if you look in the scoreboard, we're judged by the scoreboard, and these other places are like, their hands are full because our women are in place for 2 to 3 years, not including the next recruiting cycle. So as a coach, you look at that and go, wow, that's pretty awesome that we're going to be competitive. And, you know, they got to, when they see us on the schedule and they see our bus show up, they got to be ready because we're loaded.
Yeah, no, you guys are only obviously going to get better as the girls grow. And there's just something that I know personally as an athlete fires you up when you know that you're their senior night. And then to be able to win all three of those matches is awesome for those girls. That's a great feeling. We kind of touched a little bit on this weekend's match, but and you said obviously that you're going to be bringing some more girls, but I just want to know, what are you doing to prepare this week? Like, what is a pre-match, like, couple practices?
Yeah, this
like?
Is a tough week a little bit in some ways, just with the mate management and kind of getting, you know, because we wrestled Friday in Shadron. We had a full day of travel back on Saturday. You know, it's a 7.5-hour trip, 8 hours to stop and get dinner for them. So it's Saturday off and Sunday off to let the bodies recruit. But now it's Monday today, so we're back today and tomorrow. We wrestle Fort Hays on Wednesday, and it's not going to be easy. Fort Hays is a top 25 team. They've got a lot of really nice recruits that have come in because it's a state school, and they got a lot of scholarships. That program poured into that. So they've got a lot of good recruits because they've been able to make it very affordable in the middle of Hays, Kansas. That's pulling from Oklahoma and Missouri and Kansas, which are kind of a lot of women's wrestlers down there from high school. But anyways, we got a handful Wednesday night, and then we got Thursday to recover, and Friday, and then we're back to Grandview. We leave Friday for Grandview to spend the night to get ready for a 7 a.m. weigh-in and a 9 o'clock start, and then they're kind of in the bracket now, like a region's going to be in 3 weeks or 3-4 weeks. So, you know, we can finish our dual season Wednesday, kind of put the team component away. We've got two more tests in the calendar, the Grandview Open and the Warrior Open down in Midland, Nebraska. And so after those kind of two tests, they actually have a full week off, like a weekend off. So, and then we get to the regions, and then everybody's 0-0, and you either finish top four or you pack it away until next year. So we're just going to use these next two tests after finish our dual concept here Wednesday night and get them ready to qualify for the national tournament.
And then looking into the regional tournament, do you get to send all 10 girls, or do they have to qualify to
Great
be able
question.
To go there?
So the NCWC, there is kind of the women or wrestle like a girl committee that's kind of forward thinking for this, the governing body, until the NCAA took over 2 or 3 weeks ago going forward. there, you know, you can have up to 15 girls in your team go to regions.
Wow.
I voted for 12 because if the NCAA comes next year and they make us go to 10 like the men, I was thinking, let's try to move slowly there. Mm-hmm. Because it's not fair to these recruits that are coming out and they sign up for university because they know there, you know, there's 15 slots, allocations. Well, then we go down to 10. There's a lot of good girls not able to wrestle in the postseason because, so to answer your question, we have up to 15. Right now, based on our depth, we're probably going to have 13 or 14 entries out of the 15 for our region, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So 13, 14 entries, and then from there, they're all in the same bracket. They may wrestle a teammate as they go down the line, but as they navigate to finish top four in a 16-man bracket to go to nationals, that's kind of where that lands.
Awesome. Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck on Wednesday and then again in the weekend. I'm looking forward into the regional and national tournaments.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Cougar Sports Show. You can find us anytime on Spotify or RSS with new episodes dropping every Thursday. I'm your host, Abby Whittington, and I'll see you next week.